The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed are not necessarily the views of WMAL.
This is Senior Solutions with Eric Stewart on 105.9 FM and AM 630, WMAL.
Welcome to the Senior Solutions Real Estate Show, brought to you by the Senior Solutions team at the Eric Stewart Group of Long & Foster. Today, we're talking care managers with Judy Grumbly. She's with the Aging Life Care Association. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning, Eric.
Judy, what is a care manager?
A care manager is a healthcare specialist who has a varied background and acts as a guide and advocate for families who are caring for an older adult or an adult with disabilities.
Okay. So this is somebody who's looking out for, as an advisor, for sort of all aspects of what it means as you're getting older, wanting to live a good life.
A good life and an independent life.
And an independent life. Okay. I love this because one of the classes that we teach is on aging in place. We'll be giving that in October 16th and 17th in Virginia and Maryland. And the goal is because 95% of seniors will not move out of their homes.
Right.
But many of us are frozen in our houses. We tend to be stuck in them and don't know how to live there vibrantly. Mm-hmm. So I think a care manager could assist those who are trying to age well in their current homes to figure out how to do that even better. How would you give me an example of how you might work with somebody that you've worked with?
That's really easy to do because I have two current short-term clients who have come to me for precisely that kind of guidance. In each case, they are looking for me to do a very comprehensive assessment of their home setting with the family available. In one case, an out-of-town sibling or son is going to be joining us. And my assessment usually takes about 2 hours, and I am looking at a little bit of everything. I am looking at how the house is laid out. I'm looking at what I see as I have my client walk around and give me a tour of the home to take a look for barriers, for anything that is a safety issue. I'm looking for hoarding kinds of issues, mm-hmm. looking for stairs and lighting and things that people could trip over, all safety issues. And then we're talking a lot. Then we sit down and talk a lot about, well, what are their goals as they get older? What's important to them in life? And oftentimes, husbands and wives, if it happens to be a couple, have differing ideas about what they each want. And in many cases, I would probably say at least 50% of the cases I've worked on over 10 years, one of the couple has some major impairments, whether it's dementia or a physical chronic illness or a physical disability. And so that makes looking at the home setting or talking about potential other living situations very complex.
Okay, so you just gave me a great description of such a tremendous value. It's actually something I don't think we really hear much about. We don't hear about this particular job. In fact, it seems, I don't know if you feel this way, Ken, but it feels to me like most of us figure we've got to just kind of make our way through and patchwork our lives through as we're getting older. And
you actually called me in on this because I have experience with struggling and making it through.
Well, you are a little older than I am. No, I just feel like you and I could both relate to this, you know, having had parents who've gotten older. And I mean, we all can relate, right, Judy, right? It's just, you know, it seems like there's a patchwork of getting through life. And I know, you know, people just sort of stumble through getting older as opposed to walking on a clear path straight ahead.
You're asking me this because I turned 70, like, on Saturday, right?
Happy birthday, Ken.
I just had a birthday also.
Well, happy birthday to you, too, Judy.
And I'm not quite as old as you, but pretty close.
Ah, okay. I don't think anybody's as old as I.
You'd be surprised.
So take that stumbling, you know, that analogy and versus what you're talking about. It's intriguing. So give me a sense of what it would cost for somebody listening says, I'd like to have a 2-hour consultation with somebody who can evaluate my life just where it is. No judgment. Just look at it. Tell me what they think about where I'm at. Maybe give me some direction. What would that run?
I'm going to give you kind of a range, and I'm going to say somewhere between $300 for the period of time, usually 2 to 3 hours, looking at a visit plus a write-up. And some companies might charge up to $1,000 for the entire assessment and a written plan of care and analysis.
So that's what you're going to get out of this, is the written care.
You get an analysis and a plan of care, or sort of a map forward, suggestions, rationale for the suggestions, depending on what the family wants. And the interesting thing about being a care manager is that the client is the driver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're really talking to them, listening to them about what it is that they want. And that is a major part of the job, is trying to explore what it is, how they want to live out their days. And you're exactly right. Most of the people want to age in place, but they don't really understand what happens as you age physically, biologically. And I've done some writing on that, most recently, actually. So, and given my background as a nurse practitioner, I'm very versed in what happens to the body as it ages. And you don't think about that when you're 65 and trying to plan for your future. You have no idea what your body's actually going to do when it's 85.
Okay. So for those of us who cannot necessarily relate to that, what we recognize, like in my case, I was talking on the last show about exercising, riding bikes. This summer I'm going to climb Mount Rainier, and which I did when I was 17, and I'm in the process of going through some rigorous training right now. So I'm imagining that I'm going to stay healthy until I'm 85 if I'm diligent about taking care of myself. What I don't recognize yet is, in fact, what are the normal stumbling blocks I'm going to face physically that are going to stop me from staying healthy until I'm 85. So in reality, when you hit 85, there's a lot of stuff that you have to take care of. And there's a lot you don't know that you're going to have to take care of. Mm-hmm. And so assuming what your future is going to be is presumptive, really.
Yes.
So having somebody to help you manage your expectations, even somebody like yourself who can say, okay, you're here, you're traveling over time to get to this point. Mm-hmm. And as you get there, you're going to be in a different place. And here's where you're actually going to be physically. So this is what we need to prepare for.
Precisely.
Okay.
That's a very good summary.
So your analysis, the time that you're going to take with a person or a couple and evaluate and help them understand the analysis of where they are right now, to see, you know, hold the mirror up and help them see that, and then give them a plan of care. Mm-hmm. Is that a plan of care typically for a year? Is it 5 years, or is it hard to project out? You have to come back on an annual basis, or
a lot of it depends on what the family's looking for, and where they are. Usually, the people we end up working with are in a crisis situation, so they are really looking for something immediate. The couple that I met with about a week ago, they are one of the rare few that are trying to plan for the future. They're not in a crisis situation. They are a couple where one is very independent and still out and about and driving, and the other person in the arrangement of the couple is not so able. And so they are looking for an arrangement, and they have made a decision with their family that moving out of their home, because it's taking more and more time, it's a big burden on this one spouse to keep up the home and care for the other one, that they need to move and have some assistance.
And what you're describing there is two people caregiving for one another. As a care manager, distinction being you're going to help to give a plan and a game plan for how we can get from this side of the field to the other. A caregiver is going to be that person who comes alongside the person who has a need and supports them and serves them in that moment. You can arrange to bring caregivers in, right? But the caregiver is the one who actually spends that time. And it's an interesting report in the USC Royal Institute on Aging on millennials and dementia caregiving in the United States. And this is, there's a large swath of Americans who are millennials now who are trying to be caregivers. And it's 79% of young caregivers are experiencing emotional distress trying to be a caregiver because they're not equipped to be a good caregiver. They're struggling with that. That the Alzheimer's Association found that the number one issue for millennials right now, the number one issues for millennials is the stress associated with being a caregiver for a parent or a grandparent. Mm-hmm. And I think it's because we don't really know what we're dealing with. You know, like, for instance, if I was thrown into the position of being a caregiver, I wouldn't know exactly what I would be facing. And we're just touching the, you know, the edges of this right now. And I appreciate that, you know, you cannot do this job alone. If you're caring for somebody, I highly recommend that you speak with our guest today, Judy Grumbly. She's with the Aging Life Care Association. For more information, go to the Aging Life Care Association website, aginglifecareassociation.org. Thank you, Judy.
You're very welcome. Thank you.
Hey, we're getting close to the end of the segment, but we got time here to check in with Stuart Rosenthal. Stuart, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Eric. I'm good. How are you?
Good. Stuart Rosenthal from the Beacon Newspaper, the free publication for those over 50 at 1,500 locations around the D.C. area. You can read it online at thebeaconnewspapers.com. What do you got for us this week?
Well, our travel section is full of interesting stories this month. The main story is about Mississippi's Gulf Coast, which is so resilient. It's really come back since the damage caused by Hurricane Katrina. Hmm. And our story focuses on the Biloxi area, including some fun things to do, like take a trip aboard a shrimp boat, as well as, of course, the outdoor activities, gambling, and museums and things that you can find there. We also have a story about tips for those taking their first cruise, some advice for people traveling with their pets, and the review of recent books highlighting the outdoors, in particular our national parks.
Wow, so much to cover. That's
whole section. Yeah.
That's great. So read about it in the Beacon newspaper. Anything else?
Yes, don't forget, June 29th is the deadline for entries in our Celebration of the Arts. If you're over 50 and an amateur artist, please enter in any of the four categories, painting, 3D, photography, poetry, and make sure you go to our website for more information.
Thanks, Stuart.
Thank you.
More Senior Solutions straight ahead.
Now, back to Senior Solutions on WMAL. Here's your host, Eric Stewart.
Big house, big car, backseat, full bar. Houseboat won't float, the bank won't tow to know. Too much stuff.
Welcome back. A few weeks ago, I had Donna Eichelberger, who's with Graceful Transitions. This is a professional move management company. She joined me, and we discussed a variety of aspects of what it means to help someone go through the process of getting organized to make a move, or even just to stay in their home. I've asked Donna to come back and continue our conversation. Good morning.
Oh, good morning.
So, Donna, do you remember what we talked about last time?
Well, you were talking about some of the, I guess it was a list that you were presenting.
Yes.
On some of the important issues with, was it move management?
It was. It was with move management and some of the considerations in hiring a move manager and what does a move manager actually do for you? So someone contacts you and they say, okay, I'm moving to Riderwood or I'm moving to Asbury Methodist Village or, you know, any number of retirement communities here in the D.C. area. What's the first thing you do? How do you start your process?
Well, I like to engage in a conversation, certainly, to hear their stories, mm-hmm. because everyone has a different story to tell. It's trying to understand how they'd like to proceed with the process, transitioning into a retirement community, perhaps. Some are wanting just to remain in their home, mm-hmm. and we talk about issues like organizing and decluttering. So it's hearing the story first and then moving forward with a plan of action. If they do decide to move, is it talking about a floor plan, which is very important? I would suggest it's the most important thing, having some sort of plan on mm-hmm. what you're taking with you, because if it doesn't fit, then you have to have a conversation on, well, what are we going to do with it?
They know where they're moving. You'll assist them in measuring and making sure pieces yes. they think they might want to bring with them will actually work there.
That's right. So we design a plan for them.
What happens when you've got more stuff than you have apartment?
So then we'll ask, is there anyone in the family that might be interested with all of this leftover stuff that's not going to fit? Usually the answer is no. And that's, of course, very disappointing mm-hmm. for our clients to hear that perhaps their loved ones are not interested in some of their treasures and heirlooms. And then we start talking about, well, how about selling? Let's talk about various ways of selling. If we cannot get any of the sellers interested, whether it's auction, consignment, estate sale, liquidation, then we look at charity.
Assume that you've got five different places, six, in fact, that you mm-hmm. can go with anything. Mm-hmm. You can give it to the kids or take it with you. There's two. Mm-hmm. You could sell it if it's got some value. Mm-hmm. You can donate it, mm-hmm. recycle it, mm-hmm. or throw it away. What's the typical ratio, honestly?
Yeah, so most of the stuff is donated.
Okay.
Many times we find that, so we have the adult children or family, they're not interested. And then the consigners or the auctioneer isn't necessarily interested. So it does end up going to charity. And we do, you know, share with our clients that they could do a tax write-off. Sometimes they can do better getting a tax write-off than mm-hmm. taking it to an auction house and maybe only getting $200 for a dining room set. Which is tragic to,
yes,
to know
is.
That maybe the client paid several thousand dollars for it, but now it's only going to bring $200 to $400.
It's one of the reasons why I don't do a lot of yard sales at my house. I typically will focus on giving to charity because I, based upon my tax bracket, mm-hmm. I will pay more oftentimes in taxes mm-hmm. than, you know, and I'll get the benefit of reaping that tax savings than I would if I was to try to sell it, especially, and spend the time of my day selling items when
right.
my business is really selling real estate.
Right.
Anyways, right? Give me a quick story of something really crazy that happened in your business, something that really stands out as like a memory of, well, there was this one time kind of story.
Sure. A few years back, we did a clear out in the district. We were not aware that there was a firearm in the apartment. Somehow it was in a box because we didn't go through all the boxes that the client had pulled together for us to get out. And that ended up going into the state of Maryland. So the client called and said, by the way, you have my firearm. And we said, oh, dear. We had no idea. So we started to call through the boxes. And lo and behold, there was a firearm. So I had to figure out how to get it back into the district without getting arrested. So I called one of the precincts and they said, if you bring that firearm into the district, we will arrest you. So I didn't know what to do. They said, what you could do is take it to an authorized dealer in the state of Maryland, and they in turn will give it or send it to an authorized dealer in the district. Well, come to find out, there is no authorized gun dealer in the district. So we had no one to send it to.
So this person couldn't drive to Maryland?
Well, I asked her to.
Okay.
And she said no. She wanted, you know, I thought, well, maybe we could meet at the state line. I mean, it was really
at
getting
night.
Strange. Yeah, exactly.
Behind the liquor store.
So I did travel to the police barracks in the county in which I live. Mm. I took the firearm and I said, listen, I don't know what to do. I'm turning this over to you. I don't want it in my possession. So they took a look at it and they said, you know what? You're off the hook because this is an antique firearm. So you don't have to follow any of the rules. So you are permitted to drive it into the district.
That's right.
And so I called the precinct back. I said, I'm coming in with this gun in the back of my trunk.
I just want you to know.
I want you to know.
Guns loaded.
I did. And they said, okay. And I did get it back to the client.
That's fine.
Yeah, that was crazy. It was manufactured back in the 1800s.
Okay.
I had no idea. It was, I guess, black powder.
Oh, black powder.
Yes.
Wow.
So,
well, that's a crazy story.
It was, yeah.
I'll tell you a quick story.
Yeah.
So I bought a home, I guess it was the first house that I bought, and it was a Goodman Contemporary in Wheaton, Maryland, designed by Charles Goodman, who was influenced by Frank Lloyd Wright. House was on Veers Mill Road, two-bedroom, one-bath house. I was given the opportunity to buy this house with everything in it. So I bought the house as is, everything in it, including this old K car in the front that didn't run. I found a loaded gun in the drawer, and I found the will. And I found $110,000 in bonds.
Oh, my.
So there was a guardian for this lady who had not done his job, had not investigated the property. He had just tried to get it off of his hands, sold it to me. So when I found the will, which gave all of the funds, all the money that was raised from the sale of the property, anything that was on the inside that of value, give it to the University of Minnesota. So I sought legal counsel, and counsel said, you know, you bought this as is with everything included. That includes the bonds.
Wow.
That includes all the silver and everything else that I found, and the keys and the maps of Europe from the 50s. The lady was a CIA agent at the time. Mm-hmm. It was an interesting experience for me to see how you could find abuse,
yes.
You know? And unfortunately, now, in this case, I turned over the bonds because I felt like that was the right thing to do. That was what she would have wanted, mm-hmm. and she didn't intend for it to happen the way that it was. So that was an experience for me to see where we have to be careful, right? And we're both in the senior living industry. It's an interesting transition now. There's a lot of elder abuse, and I know your ethics as a transition specialist, really, mm-hmm. as a move manager, you ascribe to a series of ethics as a part of NASM.
That's right.
The National Association of Move Managers.
That's right.
That means that if you go into someone's house, you're always ethically responsible to make sure you go through, return things like you were returning that item. You figure it out. You make sure you honor the wishes of the client.
And going the extra mile.
Yes.
I mean, making the trip to the police barracks.
Boy, you
did.
In my
county. I mean, I was doing my very best to get that back to her, figure out a way.
If you're interested in hiring a professional move manager, I highly recommend Donna. What's the best way to reach you?
Phone 301-514-4933 or www.gracefultransitions.biz, B-I-Z as in zebra.
That's 301-514-4933?
That's correct.
301-514-4933 and then gracefultransitions.biz.
Yes.
For more information. Thanks, Donna, for joining me today.
Thank you, Eric.
Pleasure. Really, that's what you hire when you hire a professional move manager, someone who's got an ethical standard, ascribes to that, and will do the due diligence to separate the wheat from the chaff, if you understand the analogy, separating those things that are of value that could either be sold, given away for charity, those things that would be given to the kids, whatnot, and then all the stuff that's trash and be able to help you decide. You know, when we look around at those who are in our lives and we look around at the older people, and regardless of where you are, there's somebody who's older than you are, unless you're 109 years old. There's always somebody who can tell a story. And I think having the opportunity during a vacation or just being in your neighborhood or being at church or just sitting at a restaurant, seeing somebody who's older and just asking them to tell you a little bit about who they are, it gives you an opportunity to build a connection, an intergenerational connection between you and another generation. Even introduce your children to somebody who's older. My daughter and I went on Memorial Day down to the World War II Memorial a couple of years ago. I realized a little bit later, maybe a week or two later, that one of my neighbors had been a pilot during World War II. He still is living in the same neighborhood, and he's a really dynamic and great guy. Took my daughter over and introduced her, and she got a chance to hear history from somebody who'd experienced it. When it comes to embracing the older generation, we also want to look out for those who are older because there are abuses occurring. Make sure, folks, if you're getting older, get your paperwork done. If you've dragged your feet about creating advanced directives for healthcare or wills or trusts, don't drag your feet anymore. And you might want to stop answering the phone altogether. I'll be on listing appointments, and I see some of my older clients who just answer every call, even though it's robocall after another. Why not just let it go to voicemail? That's what most Americans do, and that way you can screen the calls and make a decision as to who you really want to talk with. Hey, look, and if somebody's asking you for emergency contact information, okay, and permission to share that information, make sure that person also holds the power of attorney to your other legal documents. Well, that's it for Senior Solutions. It's great to have you on the show today, Donna. Always a pleasure. We'll be back next week. And if you're around tonight at 9:30, join me for Real Estate Now. I'm Eric Stewart of Long & Foster. I'll see you next week. You know you can hurt yourself fooling with
too much stuff. Do you paint or draw? Make pottery, jewelry, or sculpture? Or do you enjoy photography or poetry? In whichever of these arts you shine, you are invited to enter your works in the Beacon's Celebration of the Arts, an online competition for amateur artists 50 and over who live in Maryland, D.C., or Virginia. Winners will receive awards, cash prizes up to $100, as well as the opportunity to exhibit in one or more area galleries. In addition, photos of all winners and their works will be published in a special section to be printed in the Beacon this fall. You may enter up to 3 original works in each of the following categories: painting or drawing, photography, poetry, 3D art, meaning sculpture, jewelry, pottery, or mixed media. While there is a modest fee of $10 for each entry, entering will entitle you to a one-year membership in the Maryland Federation of Art. New members only, value $70. The online competition is open now through June 29th. For complete rules and to upload your entries, visit mdfedart.com/beaconcelebration. Questions? Call the Beacon at 301-949-9766 or visit our website, thebeaconnewspapers.com.